presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. And my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We are very thankful that you have tuned in to the Refresh Radio broadcast today. We want to give a shout out today to Teresi Auto Sales and Repair over in Cocoa, Florida, on Clear Lake, a couple of blocks south of Dixon. They're on the west side of the road. And, you know, we've got a number of drivers in our household, and I think just about every vehicle, with the exception of mine, has had to have something looked at in the past few months since I came to meet them. And a couple of weeks ago, we were over there, and they said we couldn't duplicate the problem. And they said, you know, we could put a new part on there, but we don't know that that part would solve the problem, and so we would rather you just take the car and continue to drive it rather than us put on an unnecessary part. And I tell you that story because I appreciate that sort of business practice and integrity, you know, in an industry and where a lot of people think that people do unnecessary work just so that they can charge more money. Joe and his team over there and his son Michael, they want to take care of you and get you on the road. They're looking to help, not to defraud you or anything like that. And so I just want to say thank you to Joe and Michael and their team over there and taking care of our situation, but they would do the same for you. So give them a call. I believe their phone number, I don't have it in front of me today, is 636-4910. I believe that's the phone number. If it's not, don't shoot me. Just Google it. You'll be able to find it. And so they do a great job over there, Teresi Auto Sales. So thank you for tuning in today. I want to take you back to Isaiah, the 26th chapter today. Isaiah, the 26th chapter, it says, "The way of the just is uprightness, O most upright. You weigh the path of the just. Yes, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. Whew. With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." And so, you and I, as the people of God, we have the responsibility to walk in a manner that will represent God. That's what it says here. The way of the just is uprightness, O most upright. And so, you and I, we have the privilege of analyzing our situation and saying, am I walking, does my walk resemble my Heavenly Father? Several years ago, I was on the golf course with my dad. We were playing a golf course. It had been extremely moist, and so they had us playing what's called cart path only golf that day. This was in Oklahoma, and that meant that you couldn't drive your golf carts because it had rained so much that the ground was moist. Your golf cart would sink into the turf, and they didn't want you damaging the course, and so you would have to walk from the cart path to your golf ball. And we had both hit ours on the side of the fairway on the opposite side of the cart path, and we were both about the same distance, so we were parked very close. And as we were both walking to our golf balls, my mother says, "You two walk exactly alike." And she was just, you know, watching. We're about the same height. We're at that point in time, I was a little thinner than he is now. Currently, he's a little thinner than I am. He's had some health challenges here in the past couple of months. So he's a little lighter than I am now. But at that particular time, we were pretty close, and she said, "You all walk exactly the same." And wouldn't that be an awesome declaration for observers to say about Christians in 2016, that we walk in a manner that is upright? And we're going to go on and talk about righteousness a little later in this chapter. It says, "Yes, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. Yes, you weigh the path of the just. Yes, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you." And so I would like to put out this declaration for you, and that is, if you are troubled by the events that have been going on for the past couple of weeks in America, actually it's been longer than that. I do believe that we are seeing an increase of lawlessness in America. And I think at the same time that when you do that, that an attempt to vilify those who are trying to uphold the law, I think that's the wrong approach. Anarchy doesn't lead to greater order. Anarchy leads to greater chaos. God is not the author of confusion. He is a God that does things decently and in order. And so you and I, the Bible describes for us what we should do in times like this. And that is, Lord, as we are awaiting your judgments, we wait for you. We wait for you. There is a broad spectrum of society that is not really looking for God. We are looking for what God can do for us. And I want you to know that God does save. I want you to know that God does heal, that God does love, that God does want to lead and to guide and to provide, and he wants to lead you in triumphal procession. But beyond all that God does, God wants us to have a relationship with him. And so, you know, it would be, I would not be pleased if my wife said to me, "You know, if you can't ever mow the grass, then I'm done with you. If you can't repair the house, I'm done. If you can't bring home the bacon, then I'm done." If all my wife wanted a relationship with me for is because of the things that I could do, that would be tragic. That would really not be a relationship. That would be a handyman service. And I'm thankful that that's not her approach. You see, I didn't marry her for all of the things that she could do. I didn't marry her because I didn't want to cook. I didn't marry her because I didn't want to do laundry. I didn't marry her because that now she could do the dishes and do the housework and all of that. That's not what I married her for. I didn't marry her for her so that she could be my chef, my housekeeper, and my laundry maid. I didn't marry her for that. I married her because I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her. And a lot of people approach God during times of crisis, and they are looking for his deliverance without looking for the deliverer. And I want to encourage you, wait for God. When God shows up on the scene, everything is going to be taken care of. I from my perspective, I will put this disclaimer. For my perspective, the problems that I see on the world stage are not representative of an economic solution. I don't see a political solution. I don't see a man-made solution anywhere. In fact, I was talking to someone on the phone last Saturday. I spent over an hour on the phone with them. They just called me, and I happened to be at church on a Saturday morning, and said, you know, you crossed my mind, and I just thought I'd call and talk to you. And you know, as we had the conversation, this guy a lot smarter than I am, by the way. He said, you know, there's not a time that I don't talk to you that you don't say one thing that makes me step back and see something from a different perspective than what I had seen before. And so I was really, you know, excited to spend the time conversing with him. We like one another. He's a minister, and but he travels in circles that I don't travel in. He ministers to in you know, to an element of the population around the world that I'm not getting invited to go speak to those people, and they invite him to come in and speak to them. And he says, Bob, I won't tell you names, but I will tell you that there are people on the global stage who are experts in their field, and they aren't seeing good things on the horizon. These are experts. They're not seeing good things economically. This is nationally and internationally. They're seeing things in quite a dire situation. And it's not an education problem. You're not going to be able to, we're not going to be able to educate these problems away. The things that have been going on and transpiring for the past few weeks, that we're not going to be able to, there's not a man-made solution. What we need to do is we need to wait for God. So let me ask you, rather than just wringing your hands and trying to scratch your head and figure out what was going on and what was the logic there, I've seen things that people were doing, and it's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe they just did that. It just left me bewildered. I would never do that it wasn't anything that injured another person, but they just did things that lacked common sense. And I was like, I can't honestly say that I would ever intentionally do that. I just can't see myself making the choices that they were making. And, rather than trying to make sense out of it, why don't we make it an opportunity for us to pray and say, God, what America needs right now, what America needs is for you. For you to come, and this might shock you, for you to come as the judge, for you to come as the example of righteousness. You know, a lot of times we look at situations and we say, well, it's because of problems in this area and problems in that area, and people are choosing to do wrong because of the bad examples that they are seeing. I want to point you to the book of Revelation, where it says, it describes the millennial reign of Christ. And before I get there, let me take you back to the Garden of Eden, where everything was perfect. They just had one thing that they weren't supposed to do, and they believed a lie and acted upon that lie and destroyed their paradise for something. Truly, their world was altered. Truly, they knew that day the difference between good and evil. They didn't even know it in the fullest extent. They just knew that they had lost fellowship with God at that point in time, and all of a sudden they were hiding from him, they were lying from him. In a perfect environment, they chose sin over obedience. You say, well, I would never do that. The book of Revelation describes 1,000 years where Satan is going to be bound. and thrown into the bottomless pit, there's going to be a millennial reign of Christ where he will come. He will establish his kingdom upon this earth, and he will rule the earth in righteousness. There will not be any corruption. There will not be any bribery. There will not be any bad judgments. There won't be any temptation. The whole world will be living in a Garden of Eden type state. And it says that after that 1,000 years was up, that Satan would be loosed for a period of time, and that knowing his days were short, he would go and he would wield influence. And if you read the book of Revelation, you will see that after 1,000 years of living in perfection, in that short season that Satan is loosed, men chose sin over God's righteousness. They chose the devil over God, and it just takes a short season until the whole world has amassed itself once again in opposition to God. You see, we have a sin nature that we need the presence of God to come and vanquish. There are plenty of examples of godly men, godly women who did great things for God. And yet, if there was an area of their life that was not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, eventually there was that sin took dominion over them and destroyed them. I don't want that to happen to my country. I don't want that to happen to this community. And so could I send out an invitation to all of us pastors and all of our churches, and that is that we cry out for a visitation from heaven, that the King of Glory would come in. Open up the gates. Let's lay aside our agendas and our schedules. Let's make room for God, that the King of Glory may come in. Because when he comes in, it is going to change the situation. But it has to be more than just a fleeting thought. It says in verse number 8, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name and the remembrance of you. If I were to ask you to make a priority list, to write down on a piece of paper the things that you thought about, the things that you did over the last week, why you did them, that list would indicate what your soul was desiring. And I wonder for what percentage of us that it would go beyond lip service and our list would actually say, you know, I desired God enough to attend church. I desired God enough. My soul, I made a decision. My mind, my will, my emotions were involved to such an extent that I was in active pursuit of his name, that I was in active pursuit of remembering him. Not just what he could do, but remembering him. He was the most important goal that I wanted to achieve, that I wanted to experience his presence. You know, there was a basketball coach. They just had the ESPYs here not too awful long ago. I guess that conversation I told you about earlier, that was a couple of weeks ago. They just had the ESPYs a couple of weeks ago, and whenever they have the ESPYs, they play clips of Jim Valvano and talks about how, you know, he's encouraged people to love every day and laugh every day, and I think the third one was do something that moved you emotionally that day. And he said that while he was battling cancer that eventually killed him. What I want to ask you today is, the desire of our soul, the longing of our soul to know Jesus today, not just to know about him, not just to have his label on our heart, but to encounter God. You know, I a little over a week ago, we dropped some kids off at camp, and I was having to wait. We were escorting the kids to their cabins, and the girl had gone into the girl's cabin, and so I was left outside waiting for her to emerge, and all of these people are walking by, and I decided I wasn't just going to sit there and twiddle my thumbs. I decided that I was going to sing some worship songs. And I wasn't making myself obnoxious or anything like that, but I was saying, "You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am." And these girls were walking by as they were getting their suitcases, and they were just smiling. But you know, I think that wasn't a performance that day, because if people walk too close, then I lowered my voice, so I didn't want to embarrass myself, and then I just go and sing on the radio. But I wanted to take a moment and just experience God. You see, I challenged those kids, those young people, while they were there. I said, "Look, you've got 4 days here in the presence of God. Make the most of it. Have fun, but experience Jesus during this time, so that when you come back into the reality and into the community, that you come back having emerged from the presence of God." You and I, what if the fact that Moses was transformed by the presence of God to such an extent that people noticed the difference? His hair had changed color. He was radiant with the presence of God. What if that was the norm, that when we come into the presence of God, that we leave changed by his glorious presence? What if that's the norm and not the exception? What if we have settled for less than what God really intended? Experience God today. Worship him. Don't follow some, you know, if you're, you don't have to be in a church service to experience God. In fact, I encourage you, experience God. Bring him to church with you so that everybody else can experience God as well. So the desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. That means that their mind, their will, their emotions were all involved. And it says, "With my soul, I have desired you in the night." You know, we tend to forget what life used to be like. When the sun went down, there really wasn't a lot of options. I mean, you could light a lamp and you could burn the lamp as long as you had oil, but that oil had to be replaced. I remember growing up, we had a fireplace for heat, and you had to occasionally get up in the middle of the night to stoke the flames and throw another log on the fire just to make sure that the heat stayed to get through the night. And so they didn't have a lot of options. There were no billboards. There weren't any movie theaters. You didn't tend to venture out at night on your own because it was hazardous. It was dangerous. People did bad things to people who were traveling at night. Enemies moved around at night. There was the cover of darkness. And so, but rather than waste that time, just rather than sit around, here Isaiah says, "God, my soul, I have desired you in the night." It wasn't the natural thing, but the darkness says, you know what? I don't want this darkness to just be an atmospheric darkness. I want God to come and transform the reality of the situation as well. You know, now if we want to change the night into light, all we got to do is walk over and flip a switch and boom, there it is. But spiritually, the solution is still the same today as it was then. There is no light in a box. There is no 10-year LED battery. You're going to be able to turn the light on and boom, it's going to last for all you got to do is push the button. Spiritually, the only way that transformation comes is when the people of God humble themselves enough to seek his face, humble themselves enough to rid themselves of their sin. And so he says, at night, my priority is you. And then the very next part of the verse says, yes, by my spirit within me, I will seek you early. We spend so much time and effort and resource accommodating the flesh. And Isaiah is saying, you know what? I made an intentional decision with my soul that I was going to long for you in the night. And in the morning, early in the morning, my spirit said, I'm going to not just long for you. I'm going to act upon that. And I am going to make God the passionate pursuit of my heart and my life for today. Here we are on a Thursday. How will you pursue him today? How will I pursue him? Will we pursue him tonight with the last few seconds we have before consciousness flits away from our bodies and we fall off into slumber? That will not be giving him our best. That will be just giving him our leftovers. But what if every once in a while we reached up and we turned off the television and we unplugged our phones and disconnected from our computers and we said, God, could I have a meeting with you? Could I talk with you? Would you create a longing inside of me that says, I want to spend time with God? Don't do it today because of me. Do it today because God is the upright one. He is the holy one. He is the just one. We will be better served by serving him than anything else. And today, let's say, you know what, God? I'm not going to wait till tonight to make the decision. Right now, I've made the decision, and I'm going to act upon it. By my spirit, I'm going to seek you. I'm going to seek you before a problem arises at work. I'm going to seek you before a diagnosis. I'm going to seek you before a financial casualty. I'm going to seek you before my kids fall away from you or have something traumatic happen to them. God, I'm going to seek you early today. Father, may we long for you, may we pursue you, and may we find you because we seek you with all of our heart. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Truth I can't deny. Gonna find me.